A Saga of the Seas by Kenneth Graham. It happened one day that some ladies came to call who were not at all the sort I was used to. They suffered from a grievance, so far as I could gather, and the burden of their plaint was man. Men in general, and man in particular. Though the words were but spoken, I could clearly discern the capital M in their acid utterance. Of course, I was not present officially, so to speak. Down below, in my sub-world of chair legs and hearth rugs and the undersides of sofas, I was working out my own floor problems, while they babbled on far above my head, considering me as but a chair leg, or even something lower in the scale. Yet I was listening hard all the time, with that respectful consideration one gives to all grown-up people's remarks, so long as one knows no better. It seemed a serious indictment enough as they rolled it out. In tact, considerateness, and right appreciation, as well as in taste and aesthetic sensibilities, we failed at every point. We breeched and bearded prentice jobs of nature, and I began to feel like collapsing on the carpet from sheer spiritual anemia. But when one of them, with a swing of her skirt, prostrated a whole regiment of my brave tin soldiers and never apologised, nor even offered her aid toward revivifying the battle line, I could not help feeling that in tactfulness and consideration for others, she was still a little to seek. And I said as much, with some directness of language. That was the end of me, from a society point of view. Rudeness to visitors was the unpardonable sin, and in 2 seconds I had my marching orders and was sullenly wending my way to the St. Helena of the nursery. As I climbed the stair, my thoughts reverted somehow to a game we'd been playing that very morning. It was the good old game of rafts, a game that will be played till all the oceans are dry and all the trees in the world are felled, and after. And we were all crowded together on the precarious little platform, and Selina occupied every bit as much room as I did, and Charlotte's legs didn't dangle over any more than Harold's. The pitiless sun overhead beat on us all with tropic impartiality, and the hungry sharks, whose fins scored the limitless Pacific stretching out on every side, were impelled by an appetite that made no exceptions as to sex. When we shared the ultimate biscuit and circulated the last water keg, the girls got an absolute fourth apiece, and neither more nor less. And the only partiality shown was entirely in favour of Charlotte, who was allowed to perceive and to hail the saviour's sail on the horizon. And this was only because it was her turn to do so, not because she happened to be this or that. Surely the rules of the raft were the rules of life. And in what, then, did these visitor ladies' grievance consist? Puzzled and a little sulky, I pushed open the door of the deserted nursery, where the raft that had rocked beneath so many hopes and fears still occupied the ocean floor. To the dull eye that merely tarries upon the outsides of things, it might have appeared unromantic and even unraft-like, consisting only, as it did, of a round sponge bath and a bald deal towel horse placed flat on the floor. Even to myself, much of the recent raft glamour seemed to have departed as I half mechanically stepped inside and curled myself up in it for a solitary voyage. Once I was in, however, the old magic and mystery returned in full flood when I discovered that the inequalities of the towel horse caused the bath to rock, slightly indeed, but easily and incessantly. A few minutes of this delightful motion and one was fairly launched. So those women below didn't want us. Well, there were other women and other places that did. And this was going to be no scrambling raft affair, but a full-blooded voyage of the man, equipped and purposeful, in search of what was his rightful own. Whither should I shape my course, and what sort of vessel should I charter for the voyage? The shipping of all England was mine to pick from, and the far corners of the globe were my rightful inheritance. A frigate, of course, seemed the natural vehicle for a boy of spirit to set out in, and yet there was something rather uppish in commanding a frigate at the very first set-off, and little spread was left for the ambition.